Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Z's. Larry, how's Steph Curry doing? When's he going to be back, my friend?
I think it's pretty optimistic. 2 weeks, I think, is what was the deadline. I think that's probably right. So right before Christmas, right before we take on Gary's boys, hopefully by Christmas Day.
You're talking about my
LeBron.
Boy. Not boy.
Yeah, your boy.
His one boy. Yeah. The rest of those guys aren't his boys.
I don't care about the rest of those guys.
When you have a team like you guys have in Golden State, as deep as it is, does that give you some leniency to maybe let a guy rest longer than he might need to otherwise when he has an injury like this?
I don't know if it's so much that. I think the biggest thing is if somebody, you know, is feeling a tweak or whatever, any kind of injury, I think we're going to be a little more cautious than we have been in the past. So if Steph needs an extra day or two and that's what he wants, we'll give it to him. Like Pachulia last night against Charlotte got hit again on his left shoulder. He felt some discomfort. He's out. Patrick McCall going through the concussion protocol with Boogie Cousins, a nice elbow to the head the other day. He's going to stay out, you know, two or three more days longer. So I guess the answer is yes, but if our players want to come back and are ready to play, then we'll put him back out.
I just heard the other day that NBA ratings are up and up big across the board. I want to say ESPN is up like 32% or something insane like that. TNT is up. All platforms are up. What would you attribute that to? Why the NBA is doing so well early on in the season, even with the NFL still going?
Well, Sparky, as you know, you've been following a long time. I really think that there's a lot of good young players, but more importantly, Boston, New York, and LA's teams have all, whether they're playing well or not, obviously Boston, New York is a surprise. LA's not playing as well, obviously, as they want to be. But those markets are up, which I think really drive viewership as well when both the East and the West Coast have teams. I think the intrigue with Kyrie going to Boston, Cleveland was down, and now they've, won 13 in a row. So I think there's – and then you take, like Milwaukee, you got Giannis, Karl Anthony Towns. There's a lot of young players that everybody, Devin Booker, Philadelphia, again, another East Coast team. There's a lot of intrigue in a lot of different teams now, not just the Warriors and the Cavs. And I think that that's probably driving up viewership. And to be honest with you, Gary knows better than anyone probably in that room there is the fact that the NFL is down so much that people are just, they're taking their attention more to other things. And I think we're getting a little bit of more viewership with the lack of interest in the NFL.
Larry, I know, obviously, you've been involved in the NBA for how many years is it now? 60 or 70 years? It's been a long time.
Well, half that, but it's 30 this year.
Yeah, long time. I was being sarcastic. But hey, for the most part, have you ever come across helicopter parents in the NBA at that level, at the pro level? I mean, nobody obviously is at the level of LaVar Ball as far as going to the media, but do you run across it in the NBA behind the scenes with dads making calls to or whatever the case may be about their kids' playing time, even at that level?
Never. I can tell you there are more LaVar Balls in the family in college than everybody knows about. The parents just aren't outspoken as often as LaVar is. There's a lot of them. It happens every year. A lot of these high school kids, there are more LaVar Ball parents in high school and the AAU and dictating where they go to college and everything. But at the pro level, I've never heard of it before in 30 years.
I've heard of one other player in the NBA that used to be on the Milwaukee Bucks who had a helicopter father that used to bother the NBA Bucks front office from time to time about his son's playing time.
Was Larry there then?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No. But so I know it. I know it happens, but I just wondered how often it happens. So that's good to hear that you never had to deal with that. That's
no.
Positive.
No, not at all. Not at all. And again, rarely now the NBA players take so much of their parents with them. It's usually their closest friend in high school or their college friends. They take care of their parents, but their parents aren't driving the narrative like obviously we've seen LaVar Ball.
Right.
It's off the charts. Yeah.
You know, it feels like, Larry, though, the landscape of the NBA, and I know you're going to downplay this, but it feels like the landscape of the NBA is guys trying to come together, trying to form a team to beat Golden State. I guess you can stay out west and you can look what Oklahoma City has been able to do to try to put a team together to try to score some points. How you feel about Oklahoma City and these other teams that kind of crop up like Oklahoma City and Boston out east?
Well, I mean, again, we were very fortunate to get Kevin, and certainly it's been well documented how we were able to secure him. I mean, I think more, Gary, to our point is that maybe our style of play is more what people are like watching, the viewership, our team. We're very popular on the road. Obviously, we're very popular at home. We're popular all over the world. But I think not only our style of play, but our players and you know, the accessibility each one of them have is as great of players as they are. So I think that each team is in a different season. You know, you take Houston, Oklahoma City, Boston.
Yeah.
They want to go for it. Cleveland, they want to go for it. Then there's other teams like Chicago and Atlanta and Sacramento, you know, Phoenix, they're building. So I think I don't know so much that people are trying to get the super teams, but I think they're trying to acquire players that can compete at the level of where our four best players are at when we get into the playoffs. And, you know, depending on where you're at with your team, you have to decide, are we going to rebuild? And you take the East and West is completely different. I mean, the East is trying to get as good as Boston and as good as Cleveland. And I think Milwaukee's on its way. Toronto thinks they're there. I'm not sure they're there yet.
Well, their bench is playing out of its mind right now.
Yeah. And can they keep it up? You know, you've got a team like out in the West, we've got Minnesota who, you know, acquired some good players, but they're playing five guys almost 40 minutes a night. You know, how long can that last over an 82 game period? Okay. But is Rami there, by the way?
Yes, I am.
He's been quiet. I was wondering, a 3-20.
Yeah, the Bulls are a terrible franchise, Larry. They're not a good franchise, top to bottom. That is a bad franchise.
But 3-20.
It's awful.
So are you cheering for the Bears? I can't. What's their record?
I mean, yeah, they both have three wins, and we're in mid December. And I know where we're at. We're in December. I understand, Larry. I know. I cheer for bad teams.
You must be getting hammered in that room.
You know what?
You want to turn Larry's mic off?
No, I wouldn't do that to our guest. Just baby touch. I would never do that to a guest. I'm a gracious host.
Move your hand back. Yeah.
No, but that leads me to the next question I had for you, Larry. Okay, go ahead.
Usually ask a question. So the fact that you're a silent partner there must be 3-20 on a total rebuild.
Jesus.
I just want to make sure.
Yes. Wait, no. Yeah,
okay.
You know what, Larry? I'm all for
kick you in the face.
I'm all for a total rebuild. That wasn't me. That was a soundbite. I'm not going to kick you in the face, Larry. I'm all for the total rebuild. I just don't trust the guys doing it. I don't like Paxson. I don't like Foreman. We need a new brain trust there. I'm all for the rebuild, but that does lead me to the next question. I can't remember in all the years that I've been watching the NBA this many teams doing what the Bulls are doing right now, what the Bucks did a couple of years ago, that complete tear down rebuild model that so many teams are trying right now, that the Sixers are finally seeing the fruits of. Have you ever seen this many teams just giving up and saying we'll look to the future in the NBA, Larry?
Well, I think more importantly, and I'm kidding, obviously, I like getting you on about any Bulls as Gary with you know, the love relationship that he has with LeBron.
But, and well, you should. They're a joke. They are a laughing stock, and people should be laughing at the Bulls right now.
But I will say this. I think what's more surprising than anything is I don't think Philly started it. I cannot believe, and Sparky will know exactly what I'm saying when I say this, I can't believe so many owners and as far as the fan base and stuff are buying into this.
Yep.
I mean, do they truly understand this is a 5 to 7 year plan? I don't care. Rebuild means 5 years to me. And that means you got to get the draft right every year. You basically, no one's going to come and play for you as a free agent for this 5 years until you've got a star somewhere to build along. I mean, just look at Milwaukee right now, just with Giannis and his development, where he's at right now. Incredible year, probably top five. He's in the top five of MVP votes right now today. And what it's taken from the time they got him to today. And yet they're 13-10 and they're on the rise. And I think they're going to continue to get better, but just how long of a process it is that so many owners and fan base are saying, let's do it that way. That to me is hard to believe.
Well, it's the only way, I mean, unless you're a large market. And I guess you're not really a large market in Golden State, but unless you're a large market, to get three stars to come play together, it's a very tough proposition. So you really are in a position now in the NBA where you kind of really have to do it through the draft or through trade and get lucky that somebody missed on their analysis of a young player and then you hit it and do it right. I think of the Pistons back with Chauncey Billups and some of those guys where, you know, Ben Wallace, those guys weren't drafted by them. They were all acquired in deals, and then they made it all work. So you can do it that way, or you can swing for the fences like John Hammond did with Giannis and hope you hit a home run. And John Hammond said it when he drafted him. Look, no, we're not going to be able to sign LeBron James. So the only way we're going to get a superstar is if we swing for the fences and hope we hit one. And they hit one, and now they have somebody to build around. But now the key is going to be, can they continue to put talent around him? Now, getting Eric Bledsoe was a step towards that, obviously, going forward. But again, you have a new arena. You're already in your new practice facility. I think there's definitely pressure on the Bucks organization right now to compete in the East. Maybe not, you know, win the East necessarily this year, but definitely compete in the East and be right there with Boston and Cleveland.
Yeah. Well, Rami, I'll tell you the other thing to add to that is that not only are they convincing the owners to do this, you know, way through the draft and be patient, but they've also sold the fact that, look, we're not going to beat Cleveland and Boston, Toronto, Washington, if they turn it around, and I think they will once they get John Wall back. But they're all looking at those four teams and saying, look, why do we want to get the eighth seed or the seventh? And we got no chance of beating those guys. So let's wait till LeBron retires, and let's wait till Boston, you know, who knows what will happen. Maybe Horford, you know, isn't the player he is 3 years from now, and then we'll compete. So they're buying into that thing. And what we find out in the NBA, unfortunately, it sounds good on paper for 1 or 2 years, and then they're tired of losing, and the fans aren't coming, and there's no revenue in the building. They're like, you know, we don't like this plan. And they scrap it, and here we go again. It just becomes an endless cycle. And it's a dangerous thing because, you know, losing and continually losing, it develops habits. And I don't think those are good for the team, and I don't think it's good for the fan base that are putting a lot of money behind this product, and it's a 6 or 7 year window before you're going to be any good. It's hard to deal with.
Talking with former Bucks GM and now director of player personnel for the world champion Golden State Warriors, Larry Harris, here on the Wendy's Big Show. I don't think you're giving yourself and that organization you work for there enough credit when talking about why so many teams are going with the tank and rebuild model, because I think a lot of people are looking at what you guys have built there in Golden State and going, if we don't have LeBron James, we really don't have a shot at a championship for the next 3 or 4 years against Golden State. So we might as well try and win championships 4 or 5 years from now. You don't think that's true, Larry?
You know what? I we got very fortunate that, you know, we drafted Steph Curry, and after 3 years, we thought, you know what, this guy can be the real deal. And then Klay Thompson developed. We got, you know, drafted in the second round, getting Draymond Green. But really, it kind of all came together that when those three started developing and getting better, it was the acquisition of Bogut. It was the acquisition of Iguodala in a free agency and a trade. And then obviously putting us over the top, getting KD. But yes, the draft picks developed much beyond what we could ever have imagined. I mean, I'm not kidding you today that we knew Steph, we knew Klay, and we knew Draymond. We liked them. We thought they could be really, really good players. But to think that the level of all three of them when we drafted them, no chance. But I think the other thing that gets missed in all of this is it's the acquisitions of the Iguodalas and the Sean Livingstons and Andrew Bogut at that time, and then getting Zaza Pachulia. I mean, guys wanting to come play with us. So there's a lot of things that have to go right in the draft, but then there's a lot of things, acquisitions, I think Sparky led to it, is getting those kind of players in a free agent and somebody that wants to come play for Golden State. Because if you remember, prior to Steph, I think we had lost, you know, 20 years in a row, other than 1 year when they had, you know, when they beat Dallas as an eighth seed. Other than that, there was a lot of lean years there in Golden State.
Boy, you guys sure come a long way since you had Monte Ellis, though. I mean, good God.
Yes, and we want to thank you for that trade. That really helped us. It really did.
Yep. Yeah.
Anything we can do to help, Larry?
Yeah.
Back to my Bulls.
Good trade.
You got to be impressed with Lauri Markkanen, though, right? That kid looks good. Yeah, he looks like he might have a future in this league.
Well, and again, I think that, and I was kidding. Because
I know.
I love making fun of you, but the thing is that you look at three guys that they have, and that's where they're going to have to sell it on. You know, LaVine has not played; he's been injured, so he's out of sight, out of mind. Very good player. Then Markkanen looks like he's going to be good. Just got to get stronger. He's really a young kid. And then if Dunn is who they think he can be, those three guys, there you go. Now you're going to go get a top 3-4 pick. I mean, there's a number of names that are out there. They're all young. Unfortunately, I can't mention all of them, but they're all young, and they're going to be good players, and they're going to take some time. So I don't think Chicago has really gotten a picture without LaVine on the floor and done a full year of where they actually could be. And maybe the Portis thing works out. I don't know how that's all going to shake out. But they've got some pieces that are okay. It's just when you look at 3-20 and you're a player and you're in the middle, not even – you're just December, I can't imagine what February is going to be like. I mean, that is a brutal – it's a brutal stretch in the season that they're having. What's going to transpire? That's a long, long year.
That is Larry Harris, the former Bucks GM, now director of player personnel for the world champion Golden State Warriors, our good friend and frequent guest here on the Wendy's Big Show. And his Throwback Thursday nominee is a Bing Crosby Christmas. All's appreciate it, Larry. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
for the
time.
Hey, yeah, good talking to you guys. Hey, yeah. Gary, a question
yeah,
for
buddy.
You.
Yeah, buddy.
Your MVP of the league right now?
Probably LeBron James.
Sparky, help him out. Sparky, help him out.
You know the funny thing about this is
I mean,
that
how many
LeBron,
games they running were 13?
13 yeah, in a row,
LeBron,
yep.
LeBron just came out and said that he thinks people are taking him for granted because he's seeing these polls or whatever on these internet sites, and it's Kyrie Irving and James Harden and then LeBron for most of these deals. And I don't necessarily disagree with LeBron that I think people probably are taking him for granted and the numbers he puts up.
Yeah, you know what, and that's why I asked Gary, because I knew he'd say him. But obviously Harden and Irving, their records and what they're doing. But I've always said, whether it was Michael Jordan, whether it was Kobe Bryant, and whether it's LeBron James, they just need a motivator, and that's all he needed. He needs something to get him going. And he looks at Kyrie and says, okay, I got something for you. So as much as it pains me to say this, Cleveland's coming out of the East.
I'm telling you right now. That Brad Stevens will outcoach Tyronn Lue and coach around him in circles if this happens.
Okay.
If obviously, you know, they stay healthy. Horford's got to be there. Kyrie's got to be there.
Yeah.
If they're healthy
just
and they don't lose another star player.
Brad Stevens wins it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's unbelievable as a coach.
I agree. It'll be a good series, and if everybody's healthy, and let's say that they are, because that's the only way you want to see it.
Right.
Both players are healthy. IT's the player he is. I'm never betting against LeBron out East. I don't care who Boston. They can have three Brad Stevens over there on the bench, all great coaches, assistant coaches. They ain't beating the man.
It ends this year.
He's just too good.
Nope.
Too good, man.
Nope.
In a 7-game series, I'm betting that.
I'm going to bet Brad Stevens all day. We'll see what happens. Well, we get to that point, you and I can have a little side bet.
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah,
let's
all right.
Well, and how's fatherhood? Just one last question for you.
Oh, fatherhood's good, man. You know, you don't sleep a lot. Daycare brings home a lot of germs everybody can get sick off of. Yeah, that's great. It's good stuff.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right, Rami, go Bears.
Thanks, Larry.
Go Bears. All right.
Appreciate
Thanks,
it. We'll see you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Larry Harris joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. It's Bear Down. Yeah. Great Midwest Bank
Bear
has been committed
down,
to personalized.
Bears.
You know the words?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.